During the Jeep Celebration sales event at Moran Blue Water CDJR, you can test drive a new Jeep Grand Cherokee, Compass, or all-new redesigned 2025 Ram 1500. Located on 24th Avenue in Fort Gratiot, or check them out 24/7 at moranbluewatercdjr.com and ride the wave to savings.
All right, it is 9:40 here on WPHM on this finally Friday morning. In 1991, when the Soviet Union collapsed, Russia opened its borders. Russian audiences were hungry for Western popular music, rock music. It didn't just find its way there by accident. It had to be imported. Our next guest is somebody who was instrumental in getting a lot of rock acts into Russia for the first time. He's written about it in a book called Rock in the Kremlin. David Junk, the first CEO of Universal Music Russia, on the line with us right now. David, good morning.
Thank you, Paul. It's a real pleasure to be on your show this morning, talking to your Port Huron listeners. Really, really excited to be on your show.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you as well, because this is quite a story. Take us back to the early 90s in Russia.
Well, it was chaos. That's the best way to describe it. They call it the Wild Wild East. It was also called gangster capitalism. If you recall, the Soviet Union had just collapsed, and it was a country that had been trying to transition from communism to capitalism. And I came over to Russia to help them develop their music industry, which was not really existing during the Soviet Union, and we brought over with us American know-how and really helped them develop a modern music industry in Russia.
Was this something that that you were asked to do, or did you seek this opportunity out?
No, I got very lucky. I answered a help wanted ad in a newspaper called the Moscow Times. I was already living in Moscow. I had moved over there after the Berlin Wall fell and the country opened up, because I felt a calling to help the Russians transition. I had always been frightened of the Soviet Union growing up in next door Ohio there. I was a Cold War kid and very worried about a Soviet attack on a nearby Air Force base that I lived close to. So I was motivated to build bridges between former superpower enemies, and that's really what took me to Russia. But when I was there, I held a number of jobs. Some of them weren't so great. They were dead end. That took me into some scandals, even, believe it or not. But I finally found the right job, and that was with a record company called Polygram, which at the time was the largest record company in the world. They had artists like Bon Jovi and the Cranberries, U2, Bob Marley, even Pavarotti was on the roster. And they were the first record company to open an office in Russia, and they hired me to help them do that.
So there was a great appetite for Western music, for pop music and rock music. Did you get involved in actually bringing these acts over to tour and to perform?
Absolutely. It's a big part of selling records is having the artists touring in the country. And we were always very eager to have artists come over. The biggest ones were Mariah Carey, Enrique Iglesias, Metallica came over, Elton John came over, Bryan Adams. So it was very important for us to get artists touring the country. But they were hesitant at first. Russia was, you know, a dangerous place back then, and a lot of artists and artist managers were hesitant to come. In fact, one of my great disappointments is I tried and tried and tried to get Kiss to come over back in 1999, the year 2000. They had scheduled a tour of Russia. They had three sold-out concerts ready to go, and that's right about the time when NATO started attacking Yugoslavia during the crisis there in Kosovo, and so that discouraged a lot of bands, and Kiss also canceled on us, and it broke my heart. But Mariah Carey came, so some bands came, some artists came, some didn't.
You know, we got to remind people, this is in the years really before the internet had taken hold. There wasn't Spotify. There weren't unlimited resources for people to seek out music, and so you were literally introducing artists to Russian audiences.
Absolutely. I was the only American in the music industry over there, and so I was very much partial to American music and bringing it into the country. And at the time, hip-hop was ascendant. We had the Eminem album, Marshall Mathers, becoming one of the biggest albums in the world, and there was Dr. Dre and Tupac putting out great records. And I did a lot to bring hip-hop music to Russia during that time, but I was able to really introduce other genres too. I brought Shania Twain's music to Russia. She didn't come, but we certainly sold a lot of her albums there. So we were even, you know, working with country music, rock, dance music, all genres. We were really trying to introduce into Russia because the Russian people wanted it. They were hungry for it.
Talking with David Junk, his book is called Rock on the Kremlin. What impact did Vladimir Putin being elected president have on what you were doing there and the introduction of all this music into Russia?
Well, it really changed everything. I had started under Boris Yeltsin, and he just didn't make it. He was just drinking too heavily, and the country was in chaos and falling apart. There was a war in Chechnya that they were losing, and that's how Putin rose up in the ranks, and he became the president when I was there around the year 2000. And it changed a lot of things because it put Russia on a different path, an authoritarian path, instead of a democratic path. And you could see any sort of opposition media being closed down. You could see a lot more tightening of restrictions. Censorship started to be introduced. So it changed things. And that's really where Russia went off the track, I think, as soon as Putin started leading the country.
When did your adventure in Russia end?
Well, I had two. My first adventure with the record company ended at the end of 2005, and I came back to the U.S. But 7 years later, Gibson Guitars called me and said, hey, we want to open a Gibson showroom in Moscow. We never had any presence in the Russian market. And so they hired me to open the Gibson Guitar showroom in the center of Moscow, the Olympic Stadium. And that was a lot of fun because that's a brand that is even more iconic than the other record company brands I worked for. Everyone in the music industry or music business loves Gibson. And so that was a lot of fun to bring them to Russia. I was like a Santa Claus giving away guitars to rock stars, basically, because that was the main way Gibson advertises, is to give their guitars to a star who's going to be on TV or performing for large audiences, and everyone sees that Gibson brand, and it was just a great way to introduce Gibson into the Russian market.
You went back to Ukraine last year. Tell us about that experience.
Well, I had opened up the very first Western record label in Ukraine, in Kyiv, back in 1999. That was also part of my job working for the record company, Universal Music. And I opened up other record labels in Eastern European countries as too. That was part of my charge. And Ukraine was special to me because I really identified with its people real closely. It's agriculture. I come from an agriculture background, and agriculture was one of the biggest industries there in Ukraine. There's just a lot of things I had in common with Ukrainians. And so after the war broke out in 2022, I knew I had to get back to Ukraine to see how my friends in the music industry were doing, and I was able to do that in 2023. In May of 2023, I went back and visited them and saw a lot of things as well. I went to the northern suburbs of Ukraine where the where the Russians first tried to capture the city, but were stopped. But they did a lot of terrible things there, committed a lot of war crimes and things like that. But I was so glad that I was able to see the country and see how they're, you know, how they're continuing to resist the Russians and fight to get them out of their territory, out of their country.
It's quite a story called Rock in the Kremlin, the incredible true story of gangsters, oligarchs, and pop stars in Putin's Russia by David Junk. David, thanks so much for telling us about it. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul. It's been a real pleasure.
Take care.